Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration Podcast. Welcome back, you guys, to another episode. We are really excited about this episode because we have another guest. And if you've listened to our podcast for the past 2.5 years, you know that guests are always a fun treat. And today we have a gentleman named Mark Collins. And Mark is actually a transformational coach, but he's also the founder of Freedom for Life and author of the transformational leadership book, Life Mastery, Living Life by Design, Not by Default. He has seen hundreds of lives transformed through his Life Mastery suite of courses and has a singular passion to see people unleashed as the hero they are created to be in their business, relationships, and life. And he actually has a particular focus on navigating through imposter syndrome. Now, we've actually talked about imposter syndrome a couple times on this podcast, and I have struggled with imposter syndrome, so I know what that's like. But it's really interesting the different ways that it manifests and the different ways that it affects people, in particular when it comes to people who are in the spiritual community, are doing the work, or even want to be coaches or guides or spiritualists on their own. So we're just going to open up the conversation to Mr. Mark Collins. And I would really love, Mark, for you to chat a little bit about how you got into this line of work and what drew you specifically to helping people find that hero within.
Absolutely. And first off, thanks, Tiara and Allie, for having me on. I'm excited for the conversation. So short story is, I tell people I didn't come up with, you know, the strategies and tools and things I use to help others because I had some sort of an amazing epiphany or something that I believed other people needed in their lives, and I was the person to deliver it. It really, my journey started with my own journey and trying to overcome imposter syndrome. That phrase hero in hiding, or the hero that you're created to be, really came from my own journey in believing, even as a young teenager, growing up as a guy with my own insecurities and issues and feeling I had a father that I didn't measure up to. You try and kind of overcome that, and sometimes you succeed and sometimes you don't. But in any of those cases, there was always this drive, this thing on the inside that said that there was more than the life I was living. So those things that would make me hesitate from taking the big chances or reach for the big goals, right? Those fears of not being able to succeed and not being good enough to be able to achieve those things in my life. While that was a reality, there was the additional reality on the inside saying there's more than what I'm living with and the emotions that I'm struggling with. And so it was a journey for me of really starting to try and unpack and figure out, how do I overcome those things? How do I allow the person that I'm created to be to be unleashed? I tell the people I work with, you're either living from who you're created to be or what your life has told you. And much like anybody listening to this conversation, you know, we've all had a life that has told us some things, and it's not just the experiences we walk through, great, bad, or somewhere in between, but it's the identity statement that we take from it. So it's not just relationships that didn't work out. It's, you know, I'm not somebody who's worth loving. It's not just struggling academically, which is definitely something I did at a time in my life. It's understanding that, well, you're not as smart as everybody else. And in that place, this understanding and imposter syndrome comes up. And so for me, being able to unpack some of those things, being able to see the truth behind the lie and start to unpack who I was created to be, the value and worth that I innately had, just like everybody listening to this, that I started to see the confidence show up and the assurance and passion and purpose, so that when challenges come up, and they come up in all of our lives, right, I didn't respond first off with a negative emotion or fear or worry or imposter syndrome, feeling like I'm not going to be able to get through this, I'm not capable of accomplishing this. But what would come up would be a person of assurance, knowing that I was going to be able to succeed, I was going to be able to overcome. And so in seeing it in my own life, I wanted to share with others, like I'm sure with you, Tiara and Allie, that if there's something that you think is amazing, some transformation you've had or some experience you've gone through, you want to share with everybody you know. So for me, it started informally in doing that. Friends, family, people I know through casual conversations and ideas that I'd share. And then, you know, small kind of webinars or studies or things that I would give so that I'd try and help people find tangible tools. And when I started to see that it was more and more common and more people were walking in that same journey I was, I wanted to create something that I didn't have in my own journey, which was, you know, a framework, what I call the blueprint towards your freedom to be able to live it out. And that's where the course I created, Life Mastery, and the book I've written, Life Mastery, Living Life by Design, Not by Default, have come from. It was really trying to create a blueprint for people to walk in that journey and overcome imposter syndrome in their own life.
Can we back up this discussion real quick? And can we talk about what imposter syndrome is and what it looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one clear definition I try and give, or it's, you know, it's pretty basic and rudimentary, is that you feel like you're not qualified for the thing you're walking into, whether it's walking into a boardroom or starting a business, being an entrepreneur, it's starting a podcast or writing a book, or even a relationship. It's this feeling that I'm not qualified, and everybody's going to find out if, you know, if I try and do this thing, they're going to find out. So, you know, for me, it looked like that in the entrepreneurial space, trying to measure up that way and academically and athletically as well. For some people, like I said, it could be in relationship and feeling like, you know, I can't be a good parent, a good spouse, a good boyfriend, a good whatever. And so at the end of the day, it's really feeling you're not qualified for the task you really want to go for in your life. And in that place, sometimes we'll go for it and we'll struggle with those emotions. We'll arm wrestle our thoughts into submission. In some cases, we'll not even try. But in either case, we still have that feeling on the inside that, yeah, this, I'm not qualified for this. I'm not as good as, really, to me, Ali, it's a value statement that says that, you know, we always want to feel like we have value and worth. And that voice in the head that's telling you you don't, well, that's one version of imposter syndrome that's trying to stop you from getting there.
That's really an interesting perspective. So, because I know people who do have imposter syndrome and they will just enter it and kind of have this mentality of fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And so I was just curious, like, if people feel that they have imposter syndrome, why would they pursue the things? Would they pursue it just because that's what they were told to do? Or is that what they feel like they have to do? Because that's what I call it programming, because that's what the programming looks like. Or that's, yeah, I guess programming is really the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. And I think for myself and the people I work with, it's not because of what everybody else does. I think there's always the question that we want to answer, and that's, what's the reason I'm here? What's the impact in the world that I'm supposed to have? I think innately in every individual, there's this belief that you matter, and there's something that matters in you existing and having your life. And so there's this duality of wanting to achieve those things, feeling you're a person, you know, that's fulfilled, that's impactful, that's having that purpose lived out. And then the things that come along that challenge you along the way, which again is imposter syndrome, fear of failure, worry, anxiety, stress, right? It's your life being louder than your purpose and your past being louder than your value. And so for the people that I work with, and myself included, it was believing that I do have impact and wanting to do it through whatever that mechanism is, right? It's the academics or athletics or entrepreneurship or the creative arts or whatever your vehicle is. The vehicle is really the thing you're using to show value and worth. And the challenge with the people that I work with is they're a lot like I was, which was I found my value in the things I did, meaning that the outcomes that I had in my life, the success that I had proved who I was rather than succeeding because of who you are. And so there's, for us, this transition, this pivotal shift in your understanding of when you start to understand your value, you can still have success and worth and value in your life, but they come from a sense of who you are. They're not a substitute for it.
I love that. I love that perspective because I feel like so many people will value their lives based on their successes, what they've accomplished, how far they've gotten in their career. And although those do matter, I don't want anyone to think that those don't matter. They do. It's just, it's not how we should measure our life. It's not, we shouldn't be living just to make those things happen or like have those accomplishments. Like, obviously they're great, but I like to say that most of the time they're very tied to the ego. It's like, I feel like we do these things to appease our ego. And because a lot of the things that you're talking about are tied to the ego.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as I said, you're either creating success in your life to prove who you are or because of who you are. And that is definitely that pivotal shift. But the challenge is, you know, it's what most of us know is the way to feeling fulfilled in your life. It doesn't right. work, but it's what everybody says. That's why I wrote my title of my book on purpose, Living Life by Design, Not by Default. The default mechanism is you are what you accomplish. You are your zip code. You are your possessions, your tool, you know, your traits, you are your accomplishments and your income. And in that place, I found in my own life, I got to, you know, at least the level of success I desire, that mountaintop that I was, reaching for. And I find people do that all the time and find out that that imposter syndrome just came along for a ride. It didn't stop because I was successful. It stopped for about 10 minutes when I accomplished that thing. And then you have to continuously reprove yourself. I think, Allie, a real great indicator that you're living from created value versus outcome is when you're successful. It's not really when you're challenged, because we'll walk through things, we'll have thoughts that we think, and we'll try and accomplish that thing. But when you are successful, is there joy and fulfillment, or is there relief that I didn't fail this time? The hamster wheel of success of having to do it over and over again, never really getting to that place of feeling fulfilled, just really having that next accomplishment that helps you for a moment believe you have some worth.
That's very profound. And, you know, I'm curious to know, it seems like this is something a lot of people struggle with. And it sounds like there's a component of programming that goes into it that tells us that, you know, our success and our worth is rooted in our achievements. But I'm curious to know if there's more to it than just like that programming aspect. Like, is there another reason why so many people feel this lack of value and worth? Like, is it tied to childhood? Is it related to past experiences? I'm just wondering if there's additional components that go into why so many people struggle.
That's a great question, Tiara. And I think I hate to make blanket statements, but I'll make one now. It always comes from your past. You're either, again, the thing I tell people, you're living from who you're created to be or what your past has told you. We all have a past that screams into our ear telling us who we are. Whether it's, you know,
right.
what you could call a childhood trauma, you know, those negative mindsets, the interactions you have with people you love, people of authority speaking things into you that, you know, have limited you or stopped you or diminished you. We've all had a life. And the challenge is you grow up. And of course, innately as humans, you should gain experience and understanding from the things you've walked through, because that's how you survive and how you thrive and how you grow. The challenge isn't the experience you walk through. It's the identity statement you take from it. If I could unpack right. this really quickly and an experience in my own life, my father, I live in the United States. My father was in the military. So by the time I was 12 years old, which for me was sixth grade, by the time I was 12 years old, we'd lived in five states within the US and one foreign country, which means that for me, every 2 years of my life from birth until sixth grade, there was a new community, there was a new environment, there was new relationships, new school, all of that. Well, one of those places that we lived at, my father in the military in the United States, sometimes you'll have responsibilities elsewhere, meaning that they need your job. In his case, it was finance and accounting. They needed somewhere else. And so he needed to go and work in a foreign country for a period of time, which left my mother to take care of myself and my three sisters and the whole household. And it was something that was a little bit overwhelming for her at the time. And she had a nervous breakdown. I was 6 years old. She had a nervous breakdown and she was hospitalized. So for a young man living life, you know, knowing that your caregiving, your nurturing, your love is, you know, in this case, typically coming from your mother, and the strength and the fortitude and the security is coming from your father. And both of those had been taken away. And to unpack it a little further, I had three sisters and myself, and we lived near relatives, and none of them could take care of all of us, but each of them could take care of one of us. And so each of them took one of us and took us into their homes until my father came back. So for this young man of 6 years old, his security was gone. His safety was gone. His comfort was gone. His love was gone. And now even his siblings, the people he's closest to, are gone. And you're living with somebody you barely know for a period of time. So there's an identity statement that I took from that was this. It was, people who love you leave you. And so didn't know it intentionally, didn't know it, you know, outwardly, but there was this internal understanding that life isn't safe and people that you love, you can't count on. So imagine when you grow up and get into your teenage years, your young adult years, and you have a relationship. And those relationships are, you know, you have struggles and challenges, as, you know, any relationship has. What are the things that you're telling yourself? It's in that place that you start to tell yourself, oh, I know where this is going. And not only do you know where the relationship is going, you know the emotions that you should be feeling. The emotions of worry and stress and shame and discomfort, because I know where relationships go.
Right.
So that's kind of a synopsis of what we've all done. We've all had experiences in our life, and we've taken not just an understanding of the experience, but the identity statement that says, who am I in part of this? And so for that young man, it was, from, you know, the tools and strategies we use, you start to unpack the truth and the lie. And the truth in that lie was, it had no value statement on the love my parents had for me, but it was for my father, the responsibilities of his role to provide for the house. And my mother, her, at that moment, incapacity to be able to do the things that she desired to do. She needed help to get to a place to be able to be well and be able to do that. It was a challenge she was walking through, not a statement that was given to me. So when you start to unpack that understanding, now all of a sudden you start to be able to be free of the lies that you've believed, again, from who you're created to be. Am I a person of worth and value, and that's worth loving, worth caring for, and worth having a relationship? Absolutely, just like everybody listening to this. But sometimes our life tells us something different. And so that happens relationally, that can happen academically, that can happen on all sorts of ways, that having statements that are, you're living your life from, instead of living from the place of created value and worth.
Wow, that resonates deeply, especially just because, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking to an experience that I had as a child that I think I took a value statement from it, and it has affected me my entire life. It was an experience I had in elementary school, and I think I was like, oh my God, I think it was like first grade. I was like 6 or 7. And we were doing like this assembly. I don't know if they still do this, but like back in the 90s, they would do assemblies where, like, you know, the kids would get together and they would go into the cafeteria or wherever you have your assemblies. And there would be like presentations or songs or dance. And we were tapped to like play music with like these sticks. And me being the shy, reserved child that I was, I didn't want to do it because I was like, oh, this is too much for me. Like, I don't want to be in front of all these people and do all this. So I remember going to my teacher and just handing them back and being like, nope, I'm not interested. And she ripped me apart in front of the entire class, like yelled and berated me and told me I was like worthless and like, how dare you? And like, everyone was looking, and I just remember feeling so mortified. And to this day, I think that I took a value statement from that around like worthiness or worth. Like, I haven't really sat and unpacked it, but I do think that it did have some type of effect. So it's just so interesting that, you know, how our past affects the way we carry ourselves our entire lives, and it could just be one experience.
No, absolutely. And thank you for sharing that, by the way. I appreciate that. Yeah, it can affect your whole lives. And you know, the hope I would want to give to your listeners as you're unpacking it as well is that the first thing in being able to overcome it is to be able to understand it, to be able to see that it's there. And so, again, title of my book, Life by Design, Not by Default, is understanding that there's a way forward where your experiences don't have a louder voice than your created value and worth. And in that place, and seeing where they've affected you, and maybe where they've influenced, you know, decisions and directions, and even your emotional state, you know, where you feel stressed, where you feel confident, and all of that, being able to see that there's a truth in that, like with yourself, you know, if I was to help you unpack it, I would, you know, first off tell you where does that experience come from? And so for you, you see current challenges or current things that you're dealing with coming from a past experience. The second thing I would ask you is, what lie did you believe? You know, for you, I mean, we don't need to go into a deep session here, but maybe you would unpack it as to something of, I'm not worthy, I'm not okay, I'm not good, or whatever the thing is that you're taking from it because of what was said and what was done. And the third one is the one that really sets you free. It's this, but what truth do you know? So for STR, we start with identity. We start with understanding who you're created to be. We create I am statements and do celebration lists and things like that. And a lot of that, all of that really is to unpack an identity first, understanding who I am first, my creative value first, my worth first. And then in that place, being able to look at our past experiences and say, now that I know who I am, you know, in part and portion as much as I can, what's the truth that I know about that experience? And the hope is you start to see that the experience is something that was done to you, not a statement that was made of you. Whether they made a statement or not, really what was happening here was an understanding that you can have, hopefully, that it had no, the truth wasn't your value. The truth was their dysfunction at whatever level they were living their life. And in that place, freedom can happen, but it comes from that place of saying, what's the lie I believe? What's the truth that I know? And then in that place, being able to live it out from there.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm hoping that, you know, some of our listeners can take value from that. And I'm sure that there are listeners out there who have similar experiences. So thank you for walking us through that.
It's my joy. My great passion, to be totally honest, Tiara and Ali, is that people won't allow their past to tell them who they are anymore. We never devalue the past. We never tell you it doesn't matter, get over it, move on, because none of that is true or helpful. But what I do invite them to do is to not allow their past to tell them who they are anymore. And if that can do that, then now all of a sudden the world's better because you're better because you're living out your impact in it.
That's all so interesting. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of sitting here reflecting. And it is very unfortunate that, I mean, we all have trauma. I say there's no one on this planet who doesn't have trauma. Anyone has some form of trauma. But it is really interesting to me how the things that adults say, or even things that your peers can say, and how deeply that really affects the person, how it affects your psyche, even if you don't have self-awareness to it or know that it's really affecting you. I mean, Tiara and I have both been very open on this podcast about how we both have been bullied, especially as children. And I often think about how deeply that has affected me specifically. I'm not going to speak for Tiara on this one, but it really affected my self-worth, and I had a lot of self-worth issues that I've had to like navigate. And it wasn't really until my 20s until I was really able to dissect some of that and, you know, really reprogram myself or reteach myself that I am not those things that I was told growing up as a kid. And so I love how you're bringing so much awareness into the I ams and self-worth, because we've all experienced things that have affected us in that way since childhood.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know a person who hasn't. And I'm not saying that to say that, you know, we all have done it, so get over it. But what I'm saying is it's a commonality of life. And the interesting thing is, Ali, so if I was to unpack that a little farther, for sure the words that people speak have an impact. How do you ensure, not insulate yourself against it, but ensure that those things won't have a negative impact in your life, right? So the minute you understand what truth is, you can live from truth. And the truth is, the more I understand who I am, the less somebody else can lie to me and have me believe it. When we're young, it's challenging because we're getting our sense of worth and value and impact from the people around us. And that's absolutely what should happen. But as we start walking through the journey, as we're adults on this conversation, and probably many of the listeners are, you start to understand that words matter. So for me, there's an encouragement that my words matter also. And so not using them to harm, but to help. The words of others have challenged me, have hurt me, have caused, you know, what I call false identity statements that have limited me. But the more I understand me, some of those, again, strategies and tools we talked about, the celebration list, the accomplishment list, the I am statement, when I start to unpack who I am, when I have that to the forefront, now all of a sudden, if you tell me something like you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're a failure, you're whatever, that has zero impact because I know who I am. You can't lie to me about who I am when I know who I am. And that doesn't mean that folks are being, you know, purposely being lied to and being allowing that to happen. But It's a journey to walk in. Life by design is actually taking charge of your life and your identity so that others can't. But here's the interesting point I wanted to get to, Ali. Words that others give us matter at some point, but the words that we speak about ourselves matter more. And in that place, when you can, our transformational strategy process is mastering your thoughts, words, and actions. The word aspect of it is, what are the things you're saying about you and who you are in the circumstances? When challenge happens, when mistakes happen, when failure happens, whatever it is, what are you saying about you? Because that matters more than what other people are saying, because the things I say to myself about myself reinforce my belief of who I am. So are they aligned with your created value, or are they aligned with your outcomes and your experiences? One will transform you, one will hold you back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, as a spiritual teacher myself and a life coach, I often tell my clients that authenticity is the highest frequency. It's higher than unconditional love. And so I really thrive to get my clients to live from an authentic place, because that is the highest vibrational, emotional frequency there is out there.
I love that. That is excellent. And I love that phrase. That is absolutely true.
So Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like a lot of the individuals that you work with at least have some conscious awareness around their imposter syndrome or their imposter energy or their sense of worth. I'm curious to know if you have worked with people who perhaps at the conscious level aren't aware that they're struggling with imposter syndrome, and how do you help them reach that state of awareness around what's holding them back?
Yeah, Tiara, that's a great question. I would say this. I would say, while, you know, obviously you ladies and the work that you're doing, you understand what imposter syndrome is. And you know, it's a pretty common phrase nowadays, and we even throw it out, not we, you and I, but, you know, in general terms, people are using imposter syndrome, whether they understand what it is, whether they could define it themselves or what have you. But in many cases, they're really just trying to give a designation to an emotion, to emotional feeling. So for the people I work with, they may not even call it imposter syndrome or know what it is. What they do know is, I'm trying to have more in my life, and I feel like I'm the one holding me back. I'm trying to reach out for things in my life, but I, you know, whether you're successful or not, because I deal with, you know, both realms, people who want to be, you know, successful at whatever level that matters to them, academically, athletically, you know, entrepreneurially, or in other areas. And they find that they're the one hesitating, that they're the one holding back, that they're the one waiting, stopping, not entering into those big things in their life. But on the other side are people who are very successful who thought that, like with me. I tell people, you can't success away fear, and you can't success away imposter syndrome, meaning when you get to the end of that road at whatever level of success you desire to have, if you haven't dealt with it by then, it'll be there for you. And so for me, I thought that imposter syndrome would leave when I was successful. I found out it just came along for the ride. So many people don't have a definition for it, but they know the outcome of it in the emotions that they feel, in the hesitation that they have, in their unwillingness to go for those big dreams and goals in their life. And so for me, it really is starting from that place of, you know, something is happening, something is holding you back. Now, can we, and I don't necessarily deal with the definition of it from the standpoint of it's all about imposter syndrome, because here's the truth. Imposter syndrome, anxiety, fear, worry, fear of failure, all of these things that are individual emotional responses all have the same root cause. It's an identity statement I'm living that's not in conjunction with the truth of who I am. So whatever those things are that are the emotional outcomes of your experience, the solution is understanding who you're created to be, living out the life you're created for. And so we'll identify it just from a standpoint of, it's valid, it's truthful, it's there. Now let's work on solutions and ways forward.
Yeah. So, and that's something I, you know, I'm glad we're having this conversation. That's something I wasn't quite sure of, is the different ways in which imposter syndrome can manifest. And it absolutely makes total sense that it all has the same roots. So it's just really interesting to see the different ways that this same mindset affects people.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing is that you don't have to have 100 solutions. You only have to have one. And I'm not saying that in general terms, but it all comes down to created value and worth. And so in that place, whatever name you want to give it, or in many cases, people don't have a name. They just know how their emotions make them feel. But in that place, there's a way forward that can absolutely transform you.
Right. So, Mark, I understand you have a couple offerings on your website when it comes to transformational services. Do they all sort of, you mentioned earlier, the same root cause, do they all sort of get to that place or help people get to that place? Or how do those programs, you know, help people transform their lives?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the framework in everything I do, I tell people as a joke, I say, my wife won't let me get a tattoo, but if she did, my tattoo would say this: identity is everything. So the foundation of all we do comes back to identity, created value and worth, who you are versus what your life and your past has told you. And so I have, you know, several courses out there. The marquee course, the transformational one, Life Mastery, is definitely the one that has all of the strategies and tools and worksheets and all of those things that assist you in being able to figure that out. But all of them will have that. So, you know, my book, Life Mastery, of course, it'll talk about those things. The book I have is really what I call the quick start guide to your life mastery journey. It's not got all the in-depth tools and strategies and video teachings that I have in my course, but it gives you the ability to take a tangible tool, read about it today, implement it this week, and have that transformation this month. So, but they'll all have that foundation of me unpacking you for you, because at the end of the day, that's the answer to everything. When I understand who I am, I start to very clearly understand what's the impact I'm supposed to have in the world. And in that place, the thing that's the you thing that brings drive and vision and purpose, you're going to be able to live out.
So ultimately, it's about helping people connect to that sense of drive and purpose within that perhaps they have been burying in exchange for outcome-driven successes.
Yeah, absolutely. If you wanted a catchphrase for it, it would be this: unlocking and unleashing your hero in hiding in your business, relationships, and life.
Yes. Would you be willing to talk a little bit more? I know you talked a little bit about your book, but would you be willing to speak a little bit more about your book and how people can use it or work through it?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, the book is the what I call the quick start guide to life mastery. And it doesn't have all of the, again, the bells and whistles, the video teachings and all that that the course does. But what it does give you is truths to live out. And so our three-step transformational strategy, mastering your thoughts, words, and actions, we start to unpack that in the chapter. And one of the great things, you know, in a course, you typically try and bring value and training and teaching so people can live it out. But one of the things I tried to do with the book was not just to give the teachings, but to give my personal story behind it. I think one of the things that encouraged me in my journey was in seeing that you're not walking through this alone. You're not the only one who's dealt with this. And to really kind of let my community and the people who read it into a little bit of where my life has been, a snapshot of who Mark really is, so that you're not just seeing me as, you know, the person who has all this teaching, but really somebody who's walked in that journey as well. And, you know, maybe somebody can relate to that in whatever ways we have commonality in our journeys. So I love being able to do that with the book, but also to give those tangible nuggets and tools so that for sure in every chapter, we unpack identity right away, because that's the one thing that really drives you forward. And then being able to unpack those tangible tools as well, so you can take them and be able to live it out. And even with that, this new year, I've actually created a companion workbook. So one thing I've done in my own life, Tiara and Ali, I'm not sure you have, where I've read amazing books that had great insights and ideas, and then within a month, I've forgotten 99% of them.
Yeah.
Because I haven't really, right? I've read them, but not engaged with them. And so with the workbook, what I wanted to do was create a companion workbook that gave you a place to journal, to write down your aha moments, to unpack some of those strategies we've talked about, and to be able to flesh them out in writing, which to me is a powerful tool of retention, so that you can actually do that. So the book as well as the companion workbook really helps people. You know, whether you get the course or not, you'll have tools in front of you and a mechanism with you to be able to really have those things lived out and be able to really impact your life with them.
I love that so much, because I, just like you, I've read many books, and usually there's a lot of great information in there. And I'm just like, all right, like, what do I do with this information? Like, how do I apply it? And, you know, oftentimes with books, especially the ones that are information dense and don't necessarily have practical advice, like it's hard to implement what it's saying. So I love that you have a companion guide. And I honestly wish I would have stumbled upon something like this earlier in my journey, because I think it would have been so impactful. So Mark, you know, I'm really curious. It sounds like you work with a lot of people and you probably even interact often with people who have read your book. How do you respond when people give resistance to some of your teachings? Because, you know, me and Allie have noticed in some of the work that we're doing and some of the outreach around, like, for example, shadow work or doing that deeper introspective reflection and healing, that there's often sometimes resistance and people don't like to be triggered. So I'm just curious to know if you've experienced anything like that and how you navigate it.
I love what you said there. And what I tell people with the work that I do, you know, some of the things that you and I unpacked in the conversation where I was talking about my mom and the past and how that affected my present and my future, that was work that I needed to do on myself. And we obviously got the tools and resources to do that within the course. But that's, as you guys already know in your own lives, that's not easy work, because you have to have a willingness to go back and revisit the pain in whatever way or what mechanism you use to walk through it and be healed of it. And so what I tell people is the bravest people I know are the people I work with who are willing to do that. Because I know, as you ladies know as well, that's not easy to do, to be willing to do that. So there's so much bravery involved in that. So we really kind of try and set the standard of that's what bravery looks like. It doesn't look like acting like it isn't there, but really being willing to address it, not so that I can unpack and, you know, rehash things that I've walked through, but because I want to get rid of anything that's standing in the way of me. Yeah. And so, you know, that's one thing. And I think the other thing is, to be totally honest, my course isn't for everybody. Right. If you want to have a course that, you know, you can get through and I've got 12 lessons and you got through them and now you're done, then, you know, my desire is to invest in people's life for their well-being, for what I call their life mastery journey. And I know that's not for everybody. So first is to set the standard of, hey, bravery looks like this. The second is to encourage people as you see those kind of resistance points coming up and trying to help them walk through it. Because, you know, you do resist pain. But in some way, if there's an encouragement that I can give to help you walk through it. And, you know, that's, again, where the value of my book comes in, is seeing me walking through some of that journey myself. So you realize that, oh, okay, well, this is all a part of it for all of us. And then the other one is the realization at the end of the day that I want to have an impact on people's lives and help them in their life mastery journey. And it's not for everyone. And if it's not for you, that's great. I want to value your time and mine in being able to invest in you the best way possible. If that's not now, maybe later, but at least maybe I've planted seeds to help you get there.
I love that. And that aspect and component of courage and bravery is so important. And, you know, it absolutely needs to be emphasized, because I think people don't really recognize going into this type of work that that's such a huge component of it, like having the strength and the courage to look at that stuff that hurts. You know, and you're absolutely right that it seems like we as a people are programmed to step away from that and run from it and hide from it. And, you know, it just takes the fortitude and the courage and the strength to look at it and push through it, because you know that the outcome is better than the current situation.
No, I love that. That's absolutely true.
So Tiara and I have noticed that a lot of people often times will just say, well, we didn't know that we had to do the deeper healing. We didn't know that we had to do this thing that you guys call shadow work. And a lot of people will just either run from it or just say, nope, not for me. And it's really disheartening for us, because we know in order to truly transform, you can't avoid the work. You have to do the work. And I'm not going to force it on you. I can't force it on you. But I just think that we need more discussions around why it's important, and that it's also necessary to get to your authentic self. And unfortunately, you know, Tiara and I have an online community, and, you know, we've been trying to get, we've been promoting it, and we're very open and honest about it. Like, there's a lot of people in this spiritual new age space, you know, that really want you just to solely focus on the love and light. And that's easy. And that's, you know, it's light and it's easy and affirmations, and that's fun. And I feel lighter. But I often tell a lot of people who come to me, I say, that is great, and that's definitely a component of it, but eventually you're going to hit a wall with it. And then once you hit that wall, you are not going to know where to go or what to do, because it's like, okay, well, I was doing it all right. So why have I hit this wall? Why am I in this stagnant energy? And it's because enough people are not talking about shadow work and, you know, going into the darker aspects of ourselves, because those must be healed. And I've been trying to kind of dissect like why people are running from it. And I came across someone talking on a podcast about how humans, how we are actually programmed or programmed to take the easy route. Like, it's actually ingrained in us to do what's easy, look for what's easy, do what's easy. And once I saw that or listened to that and like did some of my own research behind that, it makes a lot of sense why so many humans just don't want to, because we are programmed to do what's easy. Like, who doesn't want the easier path? Because life in the daily is already so taxing on us. It's like, I don't have the energy now. Like, another roadblock Tiara and I have hit is that people are just so exhausted from the daily. It's really hard to allocate space and energy into doing darker healing work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's obviously, you know, a lot of people who study, you know, the physiology of humans and also the mental aspect and upkeep of them. And there's obviously, you already know this probably, but they say that there's two motivations in human existence. It's to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. And out of the two, through studies, they found that the drive to avoid pain was much greater than the drive to gain pleasure. And with that being said and understood, you know, the one thing that we do early on in the work that we have is to start to talk about identity, your I am statement, your celebration list, and understanding who you are. Because at the end of the day, you have to have a goal greater than the pain you need to walk through to get there. If my goal is small, then the things I'm willing to go through to get there will be small. And so for us, it's really starting to understand with, you know, start with the end in mind, some people say, or have a vision that you're walking towards. And in that place, being able to walk through the hard things in life. Because absolutely, you're right. We all want to avoid pain. It's not fun. And you have to be concerned about somebody who thinks it is. But at the end of the day, if you can have a vision greater, and if it can be something that not only they remind themselves of, but you remind them as well, then you give them the best opportunity to walk through the things that you're doing in order to get them to that end point of, you know, in the language we use, unleashing the hero that they have. And just to be totally honest, you know, one of the things I had to reconcile in myself is, I tell my wife this every so often when we run across this, I tell her that I can't want your healing more than you do. And when I find that I want it for you more than you're willing to do stuff to have it for yourself, then that's a relationship that maybe needs to shift a little bit. And so for many people, it's understanding that, oh, how far can I help you? How much can I give you? And at one point, is it something you're going to need to work on for yourself? Because I can't want your freedom more than you do. I can't want your life mastery more than you do. And in that place, if the goal and the dream isn't big enough, then we either try and find a bigger one or allow you to live where you're at until it becomes something more that's needed or wanted from you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I have so much appreciation for that. And that's something that I've had to learn through my relationships. Like, I have been in relationships where people have wanted things for me that were bigger for me than at the time. And then, like, roles reverse. I have put in some healing work, and, you know, I want to, whoever I'm with or whoever I care about, I want them to also do the healing work. And so I've been on both sides of that. And you're right. You can't force anyone. You can't force anyone to do anything, and you can't change anyone. And I've realized that change really comes from the individual, and they will change when they are ready to change. And there is absolutely nothing that I can do, or the other person who wants that person to transform. There's nothing we can do, because again, it's an individual journey where everyone is going to go at their own pace. Everyone's going to do with what they're comfortable with at the time. People are going to do like what they feel that they have the capacity for, because we can't give you more capacity. We can't give you more anything to make you want to change your life.
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, you know, the question we always give ourselves as entrepreneurs is, am I doing something wrong, or are you not ready? And in many cases, the work that you're doing, I'm sure with you, Ali and Tiara, it's not that you're doing anything wrong, it's that they're not ready. And if that's the reality, then, you know, that's okay. And as you said, seeds planted for the future, the things that, you know, maybe they'll be ready in some time in the future, allowing them to be where they're at. And desiring more for them than where they're at, and inviting them into that place to be able to find it. And then the rest is on them to raise their hand emotionally, spiritually, and physically and say, I'm ready to do that now. So many times it's not that you've done or doing anything wrong in your communication or what you're doing. They're just not ready. So at that point you've invested, and you have an open doorway for future opportunities.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your take and perspective on that.
My pleasure.
So, Mark, for our listeners who have been listening to this conversation and are interested in knowing more about some of the things you do and learning about your book and your online teachings, where can they go to find this information?
Well, thank you for asking. I try and be a one-stop shop, make it easy for people. So for me, that one-stop shop is my website. The website is freedom-4-life.net, freedom-4-life.net. The Life Mastery course we've been talking about is on there. I do also have an ebook version of my book, Life Mastery, Living Life by Design, Not by Default, on there. So you can take it on any device that you have. I was in a conversation this morning with a friend who they're like me, they kind of like that tangible hard copy. So if you want those, you can go to the same place everybody else goes in the world, which is Amazon. I have my book out there, and I also have that companion workbook on the Amazon website as well. So either place for the book, but yeah, for the course and all of those things, you can reach me at my website, freedom-4-life.net. If you have specific questions, like to talk about what life mastery looks like in your life, you can reach out to me at Mark, M-A-R-K, at freedom-4-life.net.
Thank you, Mark. And then we will also make sure that his information is in the show notes, as we usually do. In addition, we want to, again, put the invitation out there for those of you who are on the journey and need some additional support, or you're looking for a soul tribe or soul family. We have the Higher Vibe Tribe, which is now open and available. And you can find that on our website, which is www.goddessvibrationstudio.com. We will also have this episode on our website as well. So, you know, you can pop on there and just listen directly through the browser, actually, if you'd like to. So thank you so much, Mark, for joining us. And this has been a very insightful conversation. And I feel like I learned so much just in this near hour that we've had with you.
Thank you so much, Tiara and Ali. I appreciate the conversation. It's been a joy.
Yes. Thank you, Mark, so much for joining us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in and still listening with us almost 2 years in now. We love this podcast, and, you know, we love bringing insightful discussions like this one, and we love having guests. So stay tuned, everyone.
Yes, please do.